Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
A radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90. John, the game on this Friday. Going to be talking to Boca Boca, Carlos Bocanegra, in about 20 minutes from now and get the inside skinny on Atlanta United ahead of their first game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against FC Cincinnati. Greg Garza and FC Cincinnati will do that in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk to you about Atlanta United now. A lot of ways to get involved in the show. As always, you can call us at 404-741-0929. You could text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, which is at the same number, 404-741-0929. And you could always tweet us at 929thegame, where we're running a poll on Atlanta United this morning. And you can vote in the poll, and you can also respond to the comments section on the poll. And the question about United conquer this morning is, as they open their home schedule against FC Cincinnati, what do you expect from the MLS season? Another title will happen. It's too early to tell. They will struggle, or I'm scared. Which is now, by the way, huge to 7%. Other people who say,
see, that's why I'm convinced that somebody heard that and they said they just wanted to vote. I'm convinced that is the case. I can't see people being scared. It's too early in the season. Season has not even started yet.
And also, on
the, John, you easily get flustered, don't you? You're a little flustered right now because of the Apache helicopter that's flying in the background. I can tell in your face because you just kind of just lost it a little
headache,
bit.
Headache is what it's giving me.
Well, to let the people know, there's some construction going on in our building. And it sounds like that's why you hear that in the background. Sounds like, you know, we're on a helicopter and things of that nature is because somebody's downstairs or somewhere around jackhammering.
Yep. With that huge, not just a handheld jackhammer. It's one of those, you know, like backhoe where they put the jackhammer on it and they're knocking down walls. And
my man, John Fricky, if you could see him, if we were on television right now, he is beet red. He's so irritated right about now.
Yeah, and the good thing is we only have to do this for a little while longer. I feel sorry for like Paul Bible and
I got a feeling it doesn't bother other folks like it bothers you though. Cuz it really doesn't bother me. Nah.
Daryl, does this bother you?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, I'm used to hearing multiple sounds anyway. I just block it out. I think it bothers me more when we talk about it.
Yeah,
because we can't do anything about it.
They ain't doing nothing about it. They've been doing that forever. But we're going to have a nice swanky building when we get done, though. We'll have a nice building.
They started tearing down Colony Square for those old heads who remember Colony Square in the late 70s when it was like this, you know, it was the jewel of Midtown. And it's still a wonderful place, but they decided that, you know, the folks who own Atlantic Station bought Colony Square, and so they've been tearing down they started a year ago January, and they're still in teardown mode a year and 3 months later, and we understand it's going to be a couple more years, but they're building like a huge new entertainment complex and everything else and all these new restaurants and whatnot. This is just the hard part of going through all the construction, which is
you'll be all right, John. Make it. Hang in there, brother. Hang in there.
All right, so questions for you this morning. You can call and text and tweet. How do you feel about the MLS? Now, we're just focusing on MLS right now. There's another question that I posed, and then Hugh pegged off that question that I think is another thing we could talk about because I thought it was so interesting. I said, given the four games that they've had, and we could talk about four different cities and four different stadiums and not having a game at MBS and two different countries and all that kind of stuff, but given the results they've had where they've been shut out in their last couple of games, if this team had been Tata Martino and Miggy Almiron and Greg Garza, it had been the same exact team we saw take the field against the Portland Timbers in MLS Cup, would we have had the exact same results that we've had to this point this year, or would they have been better? And then Hugh asked a question that's the other side of that, which I think is really interesting. Would the reaction in town have been the same if the results had been the same? So let's say it was the exact same team, Hugh. It was Tata, it was Miggy, it was Greg Garza, the same team that played Portland, and we're going into this, and the results so far this year in these four games have been exactly the same. How would you feel differently about it?
I think that people would lose their stuff behind it, John. I think that they would be upset. I think that there would be a lot of people asking what's going on with this team and why have you fallen off so tremendously. I think all of that would be said because you're talking about – I think the biggest issue with Atlanta United is, and the reason why we're kind of looking at it the way we're looking at it is, it hasn't been that long since we've enjoyed – the fruits of their championship. Hasn't been that long. It's only been a couple of months. It's not like football where you got like at least 6 months to kind of go through a whole range of emotions. People are still flying high off of that win, that MLS Cup win. And we turned right back around and got back into the season, and people are wondering why it doesn't look the same. And you got to think about it like this, man. No matter what it is, you got 11 guys out there on that pitch that they're trying to work together for one common goal. And even though you've done it before, it still takes time to get that continuity back. And now you're talking about some more moving parts out there. You talk about Pity Martinez out there on the pitch. You're talking about Greg Garza being gone. You're talking about Darlington Nagbe not being out there. Something's going on with him. That's a lot of things that are going on that are chemistry-based.
Yeah, it's chemistry. That's exactly it. Because if you look at Atlanta United from a talent standpoint against, let's say, Monterrey, okay? Monterrey is obviously a very good team, and Atlanta United got outclassed in that game in Monterrey. It'll be really interesting to see what happens on Wednesday night. But as good as Monterrey is, and they're a better team, they're higher ranked than Atlanta United. It's not like Atlanta United is just a nothing. Their front line, their attack for Atlanta United has the MLS Rookie of the Year in Julian Gressel, who didn't play the other night, but you have MLS Rookie of the Year in Julian Gressel. You have the MLS's defending MVP and Golden Boot winner in Joseph Martinez, record-setting goal scorer. And you have Pity Martinez, who, forget about Mexico for a second, was the South American, the continent, the South American Player of the Year for the entire continent. So it's not like Atlanta United is lacking for talent. What they're lacking for, Hugh, is exactly what you said. Chemistry.
Yeah, and that's how I look at it. And I know a lot of people probably out there don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. You want instant gratification. It takes time, man. You look at the well-oiled machine that the Patriots are. You're talking about the one constant in that cog is Tom Brady. The other moving parts have been the receivers, the offensive linemen, maybe a running back or two. But even with those moving parts, there's not as many – And there's not as much change as this team has had.
Right, exactly. So this is why I'm not pushing any panic button. And I could go down the list of we talk about talent for Atlanta United. Brad Guzan, U.S. men's national team goalkeeper. I mean, this team has talent. It's just a matter of trying to get on the same page. And they were thrust into this and having to do this really difficult schedule all at once with a brand new coach who wants to change the style up. So to answer both of those questions, if it had been Tata and Miggy and all those guys, would the results have been different? I say, yes, slightly. I think they might have been slightly better because you weren't changing much up and they would have kind of had that chemistry going. I don't know if they would have won the games, but maybe they would have been slightly better. And would the reaction be different? Maybe. But again, I still have a lot of faith that this is going to be a very good MLS team, regardless of what happens on Wednesday against Monterrey. If they're knocked out of CONCACAF, then we can go, okay, onward to MLS. Let's go to Rafael in Decatur. He's on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Rafael.
Rafael.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, fellas, man. Like, I think everybody really just needs to chill out on the panic button, man. Like, they got a brand new manager, and they got Pity. Pity's a very good player, but he's not Miggy. You're actually seeing just how good Miggy was. And I think they'll all they need is they got a chemistry issue, and it's not really an issue. They haven't played together. It's only four games. And to the point about Monterrey bullied them. Like, they were pushing them, kicking them, tripping them. Like, they
right, and they didn't get, and they got the benefit of the calls. You think that as long as if they don't get the benefit of those calls on Wednesday, if they play the same way, this could be an entirely different game.
Oh yeah, if they get those calls on Wednesday, it's going to be a completely different match. I mean, it could have been a draw, but it definitely would have been a much, much tighter match.
Yeah, so I that'll be interesting to watch too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I expect to see them steamroll Cincinnati and then have a really great match against Monterey this time. I don't see them losing again. They'll catch their stride. It wasn't like they went undefeated last year.
Right, and it may not be enough, even if they do catch their stride against Monterey. He said Miggy isn't Petey Martinez. Miggy was never South America Player of the Year coming out of Paraguay. Joseph was never South America Player of the Year coming out of Venezuela.
You're talking about two guys that played well together. I go back to the whole fusion thing that they used to do.
The fusion thing.
During the matches. And that's how in sync they were. Sure. I think that, you know, when you look at things like that, I don't think people put too much – they don't realize how important their connection was and how close that they actually were. These guys were super close. I mean, you could tell that when Joseph won the Golden Boot, it was like Miguel won it as well. Mm-hmm. He was just as happy for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so this is the relationship that these two guys have. It's going to take a while to build that chemistry with Petey. It is.
Totally agree. And if this team catches its stride, you know, sometime in May or June, I think they're going to be fine in MLS. I think that there are a lot of people in MLS thinking, you know, get them while you can. Because once this kind of clicks for Atlanta United, they're going to be a difficult out, if not go back to being the favorites to win the MLS Cup again, because you do have, again, the team doesn't like – Darlington Nagbe is a first-team all-star in Major League Soccer. I mean, this team has loads of talent. We all understand that.
Yeah, it is a very talented team, and you're talking about a lot of different lineups that have been thrown out there in the last few weeks.
Right. I don't think they've played with the same 11 yet.
Yeah. A lot of different lineups. And the fact that you have a different philosophy, in a sense, that you're having to implement, that's going to take some time. They haven't been – like, when you look at it in the grand scheme of the time that they've been together, what, 4 months?
Less than that.
4 months from the time that Frank DeBoer has been here, from the time that he's been here, from the time that he's had to work with these cats, from the time that he's had to learn different personalities and what makes guys tick,
right,
to automatically going out and playing matches,
mm-hmm.
4 months.
I don't think it's even that. I think it's like two.
Okay, and how long was Tata here? Two years.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
No,
listen, fans, I am not trying to make you feel – like, the way that you feel is not warranted. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is that in sports, it's not like you just walk out on the court and all of a sudden everything's clicking for you. All the passes are being, you know, passed and all this other stuff. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. You look at the Hawks, for a good example. Look at how they're playing now as opposed to what they look like at the beginning of the season. It takes time. Look at Trae Young, the way he's playing now, as opposed to when you first saw him out there, the first couple of weeks he was out there playing. It's a difference. It just takes time.
By the way, again, about 11 minutes from now from Carlos Bocanegra joining us, getting his thoughts on the opener against the Mercedes-Benz Stadium opener against the home opener against FC Cincinnati and the game coming up against Monterey next Wednesday. We go to George in Lawrenceville with John and Hugh. Morning to you, George.
Morning, boys. When we hired Frank DeBoer, I was cautiously optimistic because I felt, okay, he can address what has been, throughout our couple of years, Atlanta United's biggest weakness. The problem that my friends who follow European soccer told me is, dude has a reputation for being a bit stubborn, okay? And in a football equivalent, what we just switched from is literally switching from Paul Johnson, okay, to Sean McVay. From an offensive standpoint, okay, or actually the reverse, from Sean McVay to Paul Johnson. We're talking about a ball control guy. His style is the opposite of whatever these guys grew up playing, especially these Latin guys, which are used to a much more free-flowing type of offense, and that concerns me. And his, you know, what I thought and I wanted to give him credit for was the ability to let those guys flow freely and install his, but I think he's done too much too soon. I do think PP is a close caliber player to Miggy, and I do think if we still had Tata, the results would be very, very different, because I don't see the energy that I was seeing. It is a chemistry issue. I do think it has a chance to get fixed, but if Frank DeBoer goes all Dutch stubborn, as they're known to do, we're going to be in for a long season.
You know, I'm not going to argue with George and Lawrenceville. Allow me to offer
a retort, though. I mean, and this is probably going to be in the reversed of what he's saying, but it's probably going to be on the same line. Think about the success that Matt Ryan and the offense had when Mike Smith was here. Now, it almost got you to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And think about when Mike Shanahan got here and how much of a pushback that was to that offense that first season. Now, granted, they went to the Super Bowl under Coach Shanahan, but it's kind of the same thing in the sense that when things change, there's going to be a little bit of a pushback. Now, we can argue that Atlanta United is a very, very athletic, very, very skilled squad, and they're very, very deep. Who's to say that the way that Coach DeBoer, Frank DeBoer, is coaching, or the way that he wants to coach, is not better suited for the players if given the chance to play it?
Well, I'm not saying it wouldn't be more structure under DeBoer.
No,
than
don't get me wrong, John. I get the fact that in his last few stops, he's had some you know, he's left early.
Right,
but I get that.
You put the structure in, and now let's loosen that structure out. You know, you had to teach the structure. Now let's let it relax a little bit, and I'll be fine with that. So I understand where George is coming from because, you know, you got to let these guys go. You got to unleash the horses and let them go. But they just got to get on the same page first. Running down the field going, what the hell are we doing? All right, we get another view of this from no less than the technical director of Atlanta United, Carlos Bocanegra, joins us in a couple of minutes.
Baseball is gone! Baseball is back.
Get exclusive Braves coverage here.
As we take you live to Braves spring training in Florida with our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a nice Friday. Going to be a busy weekend and a busy week ahead. Thank God Atlanta United is finally at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Took long enough. Ooh. We welcome into the program the technical director of Atlanta United, Carlos Bocanegra, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Carlos.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Boca Boca. We're good, man. We're good. But some of the fans in Atlanta, they're not too good right now. They're a little panicking a little bit. Boca, is there any reason for us to be in panic mode when it comes to Atlanta United?
No, listen, I think this is great, actually, because it shows the intelligence of our fans. It shows the fan base, you know, how prominent the team is here in the city, that, you know, people are speaking up. And when, you know, results aren't going our way, especially at the beginning of the season, people are asking questions. But I think it's a good thing. It's a good, healthy discussion. And obviously, you know, we're not panicking. We're sticking to the plan. You know, we've come up against a really good team in Monterey Wednesday. I'm confused on my days here. And then, we've had, we go straight into Cincinnati here. So it's been a kind of hot and heavy start for us.
So how much has this team evolved? Because that's been the big talking point. How much has this team changed since that championship run of last year? How much difference is it now as opposed to back then?
No, I don't think there's a whole lot. I mean, I thought Frank was excellent when he came in and spoke to the group and said, look, I'm not coming in trying to reinvent the wheel, guys. He said, you guys did a great job last year. You know, he's telling the players this, and he's saying, we're going to try to make, you know, a few minor little adjustments and tweaks. But, you know, on the field, it comes down to tactics and decisions that the coach wants to make against who we, you know, our opponent is. So, to answer your question, not a whole lot of change. There's sometimes the formation or the setup is a tad bit different, but overall the style of play, the philosophy, that is not changing.
Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United, as we get ready for the MBS opener against FC Cincinnati, a new team into the league with Greg Garza, former five-stripe on FC Cincinnati. 5:00 kickoff on Sunday. Our game will be carried on Star 94 FM. Is there going to be some special stuff going on Sunday before the game in terms of honoring the MLS championship of last year?
I have heard there's supposed to be something going on, yes, that's for sure. I don't know what, to be honest. I didn't ask too much about it, but I think it's going to be exciting. It's our first home game of the season, 70,000 in the building. The guys are excited. You know, we haven't got off to the greatest start, so we definitely want to go out and put our best foot forward in front of our home fans. And I think there'll be some special festivities as well.
How important is it that you finally get to play We talk about this, you know, four games, four different stadiums, two different countries. You finally get to play at Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, it's great. We love playing here. I mean, I thought also the crowd and the field and the atmosphere up at Kennesaw was great for us. Did a good job there. You know, unfortunately, some things happened. We couldn't play in Mercedes-Benz. But we're back home, and in our locker room, in our stadium, everybody feels comfortable here. So we are definitely looking forward to getting back in the bins.
You know, I know this is a quick turnaround, but is this possible that this weekend is going to be like a ring ceremony? Is the ring ceremony this weekend, Boca?
No, not that I know. Not that I know of. I think those come a little bit later.
Yeah, I was wondering because I'm like, you know, I know the season just started and you know, what just happened not that long ago, and I was just wondering if the ring ceremony was going to be that quick turnaround. But it would have been cool. I think it's still going to be cool, though.
Yeah, no, it will be. And, I mean, look, for all the festivities and the excitement about, you know, whatever we do here to celebrate last year's title, you know, we've got to turn the page, and it's a new year. So we're very much focused on right now and this season and looking forward instead of, you know, we obviously want to celebrate and we're happy that we accomplished a championship for the city, but we're very much focused on right now, this weekend, and going forward. We can't get caught up too much in the other stuff.
I know you can't, Boca, but I got one more question, and I promise you I'm going to leave it alone. But have you seen what the new rings are going to look like? Have you had a good – this is my last one. I promise you I'm going to quit living in the past – and I'm going to move forward with you, but I just, you know, just have you even seen what they look like a little bit?
That's fine. We can live in the past here. I'm just saying the team is going to be moving forward, but we can talk about the past.
All right, then. Well, let's talk about it then.
I've seen them. They look pretty awesome. They're big, gaudy, as you would expect.
It's America. It's supposed to be.
Exactly. For a championship ring. But they're really cool, and I think they do get delivered fairly soon, so those will be all over social media and all that stuff soon.
It is Atlanta United and FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati moving up in class as the new team in Major League Soccer. Besides Greg Garza, who is now on FC Cincinnati, Carlos Buganegar, what do you know about this team?
Yeah, well, they're going to be a hardworking team. You know, they kind of built their team defense first. From the back to the front, and they won. You know, they brought in Kendall Watson, who's a big, strong central defender. He was at Vancouver last year. You know, they've got a few other pieces in there. They're trying to be solid defensively, and then they've got Audi up top, who used to play for Portland. They got him in the offseason as one of their top strikers. So, you know, they'll be a little bit more direct. They won't be a team that likes to possess the ball as much. You know, they'll play a little bit more long balls, look to pick up the second pieces. That's what they've been doing so far in preseason in their first game. But again, we've got to take it to them. You know, we're at home, and we've got to concentrate on ourselves here, play our game, and you know, really make sure as long as we have 10, 11 guys have good individual performances, we're always going to create chances, and we feel very good about the outcome. You know, in the previous three, four games that we've played, you know, it hasn't always been the case where everybody's firing on all cylinders and we've made a few individual errors, and that happens. So we've got to correct those. You know, we're addressing those internally. And making sure we go out there and you know, put our best foot forward on Sunday.
Carlos Buganegra, Atlanta United Technical Director. Fans have not had a chance yet to see the best of Petey Martinez. He was just called up, not a surprise, to play on the Argentine national team. He is the South America Player of the Year. What can fans expect to see when they finally get all of PT Martinez and what he can do? And how long do you think it takes to kind of get Gressel and Tito and Joseph and Petey, all these guys, kind of on the same page?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So, you know, Pitti coming in, obviously we're very excited about the signing of him and his quality on the field. You know, we can't expect him to be, you know, 100% mid-season form already in the season, but he showed glimpses of it. To give you a little background on him, he finished playing in the Libertadores final. I think it was December 22nd or something like that. They ended up finishing. So he didn't get very much downtime in the off season, and then he only had about 24, 26 days of preseason with us before we got into the first game. So, you know, while we want to see him out there on the field, we've got to be smart with him. You know, he's a high quality player, and we don't want to push him to risk injury too much. So that's where you didn't see him, you know, feature from the start up in DC. But he's getting there. And him, Joseph, you know, Julian, we had, unfortunately, he rolled his ankle and had an injury, so we couldn't use him in Monterey. So, you know, Franco Escobar, you know, hurt his collarbone first day of preseason. So we've been battling the injury bug a little bit right now, and that's where we've got to be smart with our guys. You know, we're not looking to sacrifice games, but we can't. We've got to rely on you know, the team to get the job done.
This has been a what we expected. It has been very difficult. You know, and we're talking about six games in 18 days, and have to open, you know, in a cold rain in D.C. And I mean, we can make excuses. I'm just
no
talking
excuses,
about,
John. For
I know,
no
but
excuses.
we're just talking about how it has been. Because through all of this, the one thing you haven't been able to do is play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and now you get FC Cincinnati and Monterey. And regardless of the outcome on Wednesday, I do expect, just to that game, to the Monterey second leg here, regardless of the outcome is going forward in CONCACAF, because we all know what you face. But yeah, I do expect that it will be a much more competitive game and a fun night.
Yeah, it should be. And look, we're definitely not looking to make excuses. It was going to be a challenge. It's tough. We knew that from the start. We wanted to be in this position where we're playing in Champions League. You know, we very much looked at Toronto's season last year, where they had a great run, went to the final of the CONCACAF Champions League, but their regular season suffered. And so, you know, we did not want to be like that. It's a tough start to the season, though, and it's a challenge. And so we've got to keep fighting through it. But again, you know, like you said, John, we're looking forward to getting back at the Benz Sunday in front of our home fans and putting this ship on the right track.
As always, Carlos, let's get this going in the right, rolling in the right direction. And we do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Okay. Thanks,
thank you very much.
Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United. Again, the game is at 5:00 kick on Sunday. The broadcast will be on our sister station, Star 94 FM, with Mike Conney and Jason Longshore from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And so we have Atlanta United and FC Cincinnati, the brand new team, with a chance to maybe, you know, let's get a goal, let's get two, let's get a win.
Let's get a win.
You know, right?
Yeah, I think hopefully that interview allowed some people to calm down a little bit or made them feel better. Maybe it felt like a warm blanket or maybe a puppy on your feet or something.
At least for 48 hours.
At least for 48. I mean, because, like, since we've talked to Carlos, he's been pretty straightforward, and he's always direct with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that made me feel he reinforced what I already thought. You know, I mean, they're where they want to be now. Let's have this conversation next week if things don't go the way they want to go. Then maybe there's going to be a situation.
Hey, all you 17s out there, season's here at MBS. You can kick off your 2019 scarf collection with the limited edition 92.9 The Game scarf. The scarves are going to be sold at all 92.9 The Game tailgates, including this Sunday, at noon. Viewing parties online at 92.9. You want to get one, you can go online. You can go to our website, 92.9thegame.com, and get you a 92.9 The Game scarf. They're really cool, got to say. You know, go check them out on our website. You're going to want to have one. It is a Friday, Rick and John, top of the hour.
Training in Florida, our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh. A chance on a Friday to get
hey,
to some
I
of the things.
Hey, I know this music.
We haven't had a chance to get to. We call it Rapid Fire, and AT is the man that asks the questions rapidly, and he is up at bat.
As a matter of fact, before we get to the questions, if you want to go to Twitter, the Robert Kraft story has taken on yet another twist. And it involves a certain resident of the White House and the founder of the spa. So that's all I'll tell you. That's a tease. You can go and search for it, if you like, on Twitter. All right, our Friday Rapid Fire questions will start with the man who's been in the news for the past week, Antonio Brown. We've heard the rumor that happened last night. That didn't happen. Will he be traded by tonight?
I will say this, just an update to that. Broke last night that Brown was going to be traded to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills this morning came back at about 7 o'clock this morning and said, nope, not going to happen. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is now reporting, Hugh, that they did have serious trade talks, but the deal fell through because Antonio Brown refused to play in Buffalo, said, I'm not going to go.
That's kind of what I thought. I knew it was something that had happened. Ian Rappaport, well, I guess he saved face in this situation,
right,
because the deal was going to go through, but he was like, no. See, this is that old Antonio Brown thing. There's too many moving parts to this because they're trying to find him a team, number one, that he's probably going to be willing to go to and the one that's going to be willing to pay him. So this might not happen. This might not happen overnight. So I'm going to say no, AT, to ask you a question and not go all off on a tangent. I'm going to say no.
Well, see, right, and I'm going to vote yes because Adam Schefter is saying there will be a deal still today, and I think the Pittsburgh's got to move on from this. This is driving him nuts. So well, we're just guessing now.
Well, and here's the thing. Everybody has to realize Ian Rappaport, no matter how many hits and misses that he may have on some of these things sometimes, he works for the NFL. So he's getting a lot of his information from some of these team executives. So take that for what it's worth.
He might have pulled the trigger prematurely on this
one.
He
could have.
He probably could have pulled the trigger prematurely on this one.
Speaking of another trade, will Arizona trade Josh Rosen soon? If so, to which team and what kind of pick will they get?
I'm going to say yes, it will be. And I think it'll probably be one of those situations where it'll probably be a second or third round pick because he hasn't really done a whole lot to warrant, even though he was just drafted in the first round. Hasn't done a whole lot to warrant a first round draft pick. I think it'll probably go to the Patriots because that's been the consensus. That's been the storyline. I think it'll go to the Patriots.
I agree. I think it's yes. I think it's Patriots. I think it's second round and a fairly decent second round because they've got a lot of second round picks, not third round like some people have said. Because keep in mind, one of the things that's so intriguing about Josh Rosen, one of the things that makes him a valuable trade commodity. He's got 3 years left on his rookie contract at $2 million a year. He's cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap.
Question number three, fellas. The Legends have had a lot of trouble scoring, but at home on Sunday, it's Aaron Murray time. He finally gets to start. So how many touchdowns will he throw for on Sunday?
I'm going to go with a none, Chuck.
Zero?
I'm going to throw with a none.
I'm going to go with two. You're going to toss two.
Why you say zero, Hugh?
I just don't feel like he's going to be I just don't feel like he's going to be the guy that's going to ride in on his – like Littlefinger did in Game of Thrones. John didn't catch that Game of Thrones analogy. But, yeah,
no.
I don't think he's – he said no, I did. You know Game of Thrones is about to come back, John Freaky.
Yeah, next month, I know.
Yeah, but you're not getting excited? You're
I
not
only watched HBO? The first 12 minutes of the first episode.
Oh, man.
When they came out of the gate and they went into the forest and they were like dead dogs or something and my wife said, nah, not for me. And I went, okay.
You are tripping. Yeah, so you weren't allowed to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I haven't watched a lick of that.
Oh, come on.
But Billions comes back next week.
Oh, now Billions. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Axe is going to be – oh, that's going
to
be fun.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Billions. I want
Axe to go crazy.
All right, question number four, fellas. Will ATL UTD – that's Atlanta United – for those of you who are unfamiliar with the initials.
Oh, come on. Who doesn't know those now? Come on.
I mean, I'm just helping out the audience there, John. Will they show up on Sunday and show out against the expansion FC Cincinnati?
Yes, and they're going to beat them like a drum.
What? All right, give me a score, mister.
5-1.
Okay.
3-0.
3-0. He went with a nil.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my soccer terminology on.
We got my
soccer terminology.
You never say nil again, you.
I got to. And I'm going to say pitch. On the pitch.
No, you know he's got to say it right.
Where
they'll
are
be,
they in the table?
Yeah, they'll be lighting him up here.
3-0.
I don't want Sean Thompson to be getting those emails. I hate Hugh Douglas.
Great
we
job.
We love y'all out there, but sometimes y'all make us, y'all crack us up.
Yeah, right.
All right. Hugh kind of alluded to this early in the show that he went to see Captain Marvel last night. Is it on your weekend list? So that would be for you, John Frick.
No, because I've got to, I think I'm going to watch, I may watch Infinity Wars this week. I got to catch up on some movies.
You do, because this one leads into Marvel's, this leads into Infinity Wars Endgame.
Right.
And somebody just asked my man, Austin Sheldon just asked me, he said, is it top five? I wouldn't say it was a top five movie. It's good. It's not a top five Marvel movie. It's a good movie. It's
best Marvel.
It has
movie.
A lot of plot twists.
Captain America, Iron Man, best
man,
Marvel.
Man, that's hard to say because Infinity. Like I told you, when I couldn't drink no more in Alabama, I sat at home and watched TV. So I watched Infinity Wars again. I could not. You know, I've never felt like that in my life. Man, I couldn't drink anymore.
I think we just got the title of Hugh's autobiography. I can't drink no more in Alabama.
I can't drink no more.
You know what? I think we found
full in Alabama.
I think we found out the reason why he was in a meeting yesterday. What did you do in Alabama?
I didn't do nothing.
Well, that's going to be the title of this hour. I can't drink no more in Alabama.
Right. So far this segment we've had a nuttin', a nil, and a nunchuck.
Yes.
Three nil.
Three nil.
Guys, we this question is a little more serious. We got some unfortunate news yesterday with the information coming from the Mets on Tom Seaver,
right,
who has dementia, and he is going to, as the release was worded, retire from public life.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he's dying or anything like that. I guess the condition has to the point of where he just doesn't want to engage with the general public.
I thought that was funny. I mean, not funny, but I just thought it was odd that it was
worded that
way.
Yeah, and my question doesn't necessarily pertain to that. Is not only is this sad, but is he your favorite Mets player of all time?
There's no such thing as a favorite Mets player of all time in my world.
Why not?
I can't stand the Mets.
Oh, my goodness.
He was very interesting. I will say that.
There's no such thing as my favorite Mets player of all time.
But Darryl Strawberry, Ron Darling, Tom Seaver, Keith Hernandez?
No, go to hell.
Wow, John.
Jeez.
You're in your fandom for real this morning.
Okay.
No.
I think I know where he made which direction he'll go with this next one. Leap forward, fall back, or get rid of daylight saving time and not the clock. And not change the clock.
That's right. You got
when I got to do it this Sunday? Forward.
Yep.
Saturday night.
Sunday morning, 2 a.m. Oh.
So what that mean for me as far as this job is concerned, do that mean I get an extra hour of sleep or I lose hours?
Or Saturday morning.
My sweet little baby Jesus.
This will be my first time with you guys with this on Monday.
It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to let y'all know I'm going to probably get called to the office Monday regardless because it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I hate the leap forward. Let's get rid of this. I will vote for any politician who gets rid of this bloody thing and just goes to regular standard time. No
like
more
they do what in Indiana, though. They do
in
that
Phoenix.
In
Arizona.
Yeah. In Arizona. They don't flip the clocks in Indiana, though, do they?
Nope.
Yeah,
no, they don't. All right, Rick and John, we're flipping the clock to 10 o'clock next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.